Football. Well, football's over. This is the sad part of the season. Super Bowl's happened. This is NFL Australia, and I am your co-host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for whomstever wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. Here in Larry Armour Studios, chilling, not illing. Actually wearing a hoodie for the first time in a fairly long time, I think. Actually,
got Jesus.
The Pat's hoodie on. What are you going to do? One way to send the season off in a pretty bang-on way. And on the other side of this here iPad, it is a bloke who's still sleeping on the couch in his new Aaron Rodgers jersey after his performance on Monday. Just leaving a swathe of Fitzroy in flames behind him. It is the sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. Here's my mate. Here's your mate. He is a terror to anyone who was within like a 5 kilometer radius of the catfish on Monday.
It is Gaz. I had a great time.
Gaz.
Everyone who was around me had a great time. I did sleep on the couch, but only for one night. To be honest, I think my missus took a photo of me passed out on the couch about 3 minutes after I got home and sent it to you, Jimmy.
That's right.
It was a great time. Yesterday was not so great. There was a lot of recovering yesterday, and I was a grumpy prick at work and yelled at a few people, but you know what? That's what Super Bowl's all about.
It is. Either way, we're going to wrap that up for you. The Rams are the Super Bowl champs, the world champions. I love a good world champion reference. Mate, nobody else plays your fucking game. What are you doing? But either way, that's it. That's all we're doing on today's show. We're just going to wrap up a pretty nuts, weird, wonderful, good question mark Super Bowl. Because that's it. The season is over, and we're going to wrap up that Super Bowl as best we can for you, all in one dumb, drunken NFL Australia package. And let's bloody well get to it, Gaz, because why the hell not? Right, episode 48 of NFL Australia. Let's go. Is this what I came here for?
Ha ha ha, fuck you, St. Louis. Ha ha ha, ha ha ha. This is awesome. Jeez, it's pretty good that I built this $20 billion stadium, isn't it? Oh, hi, this is Stan Kroenke of the world champion LA Rams, and you're listening to NFL Australia.
All right, guys. Wow. Well done, Stan Kroenke. Turns out he was right, I guess. Maybe. You know, moves him to LA. Maybe they've got 18 more fans now. They have to share their parade with LeBron. Either way, the Super Bowl 56 in the bag. It was close. It was fun. I don't know. Weird game. The football itself felt kind of up and down, if that seems fair, right? We'll talk about that later, but for big chunks of it, we were kind of like, it was a close game, which is all you want, really. But it wasn't, like, literally anywhere near as, like, electric and as awesome as some of the other games we've had these playoffs, but still close and fun. The halftime show was off its fucking head. That was awesome. I think you and I were sitting there just basically punching each other, just, like, delightedly. The ads, the Super Bowl commercials, they were all pretty good. Some, you know, classic head-scratching, what the fucks. Gwyneth Paltrow, I still don't understand it. Like, she was eating the smell of her vagina, and she's like, not bad. It's like, oh, okay, sure. The Hellman's Mayo, Jared Mayo and Pete Davidson commercial, probably tops for me. Enjoy that. The Austin Powers ripoff as well. It did also feel like nostalgia was a big thing today, wasn't it? It was like, well, that day, 2 days ago now. But got the halftime show. You've got Rams back in LA. It's very, very nostalgia-based. But either way, the ads were right. Aaron Rodgers won MVP. Sure. he's your hero. So, I mean, it's all up to you to carry that water. And Adrian Peterson got pinged for, what was it, domestic abuse? Something like that. Oh, good. And Gaz is dying on the other side of this here one, so let's get...
That's a joke, and it's water, not even beer this time, Jesus.
You coward. Super Bowl 56, let's wrap it up, Gaz. So, 2 days, I'm actually kind of glad we didn't do this yesterday, so we were both pretty washed out after a big Monday. And when I say a big Monday, it was like, oof, absolute brutality Monday evening. But got through it, pretty washed yesterday, had a bit of a chance to sit with it, obviously, across 2 days, and pretty happy we're doing it now. So 23-20, the Rams beat the Bengals. If that sounds close, it's because it was. And this is kind of like the thing, though, the wrap. The first big thing we talked about last week was like, huh, there's a Super Bowl? Like, it felt like the vibe was a bit off. And the answer to that big question, I thought, was like kind of, yeah, like even in the lead up to the day, on the day, it really, literally until they ran out, I think, onto the field and The Rock took 20 minutes to tell us that it was time for the Super Bowl. Yeah. It was like, oh, fuck, yeah, that's right, Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, and then, that's what we're here for.
Then it finally felt like it was like really kicking into gear. So pretty strange. So what we're going to do on today's show, we're going to go through the five big questions we both had last week about the Super Bowl and see how they were answered in the game, or if they were answered in some of my instances, I believe. And then both of us have got our top three Super Bowl takeaway thingies, basically thingies that we want to take away from that Super Bowl that'll stick with us, that'll stick in your craw. So I don't know. Do you want to lead it off? Do you want to just go back and forth the five big questions or just run through them? What do you reckon, guys?
Yeah, let's just go backwards and forwards, right?
All right.
That's how we did it last week.
My first one was pretty easy. Can the Bengals front hold up against that Rams pass rush? The answer was a very resounding fucking no. And like Joey B didn't have a bad game. Like by any real sort of stretch, they can't, what did he end up like a pretty half decent, like 263 yards, just hit the under, which is a bit brutal if you're betting on him. 22 of 33. The big problem, obviously, like the amount of sacks. It was like 7 sacks, I think, officially. And there's probably like another one right at the end, which I don't think counted as a sack, but was essentially a sack. That's a lot. It's a lot. Like, it's just a lot. It's a fucking lot. So, yeah, the front didn't give me much time. And I really felt like that was obviously the difference, right? Like Joey B just not having
the most sacked QB in a playoff run ever.
Yeah,
this one it was fucking 19 times, I think it was, something like that.
And it's just a simple fact that like you can have all the weapons you want, but if you don't have time to get the ball to your weapons, like it doesn't fucking matter. Like here you go.
It's fucking weird, right? It's like. It's one of those things that comes full circle, and it's the way the NFL is. But at the beginning of the season, we were like, what does it fucking matter if you have Jamar Chase, if you can't stay up, Joe B, if you can't protect the guy coming back from his ACL, you're fucked, you've got no chance. And then they sneak it through to the Super Bowl, and we go, ah, we were all wrong. Maybe this Chase guy is all right and can overcome not taking out Penei Sewell and all that. And then in the Super Bowl and against the Chiefs, they manage just to get over it. It's what fucks him in the pooper, right? Yeah. So, like, yeah, it was tough scenes, as you would say. But look, it started out respectable, right? Like,
yeah.
The first sack went on Stafford, and they were holding him, you know, triple. It took three dudes to sit on Aaron Donald. But they were, you know, you were really concerned about your fucking 3.5 sack over for the whole first half, right?
Yeah, and then they basically then hit it on like once in like one drive. Jesus. I think they basically hit it.
Made some adjustments and then took it. So yeah, I think that's we can without doubt say that's a resounding yes. And my one, with these two offenses and flashy QBs, is there a chance that a non-QB wins MVP?
Nailed
Chase,
it.
Donald, Miller, Cup. Well, fucking yep. Well, I think that to go even beyond that, to be fair, a non-QB was also clear second.
Yep.
Because, you know, there's a bit of controversy. There's always going to be a bit of controversy, but Aaron Donald took over the second half of that game, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the answer is yes.
Nailed it. That was a good one. The other one was, is there any way in hell that Joey B could win a Super in his second year? Like, is this team basically that good? And it was kind of like they almost were. They led in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, so they could have, but at the same time, like, it did feel like just the incompleteness maybe of this team, the fact that they weren't a juggernaut all season and had sort of basically in each of their games in the playoffs almost asked their way to a Super Bowl, right? In each game you can sort of point to like things where if it wasn't Tannehill fucking up or Derek Carr fucking up or like the Chiefs just for some reason shitting the fucking bed like kind of vibes, they wouldn't have been there. And like that sort of, I feel like reared its ugly head just a little bit and then obviously you know, adding to the offensive line woes, etc. No, like that's it. Like it turns out the chances were of them winning the Super Bowl were pretty good, but turns out you can't ask your way to a Super Bowl unless you're Eli Manning. So
yeah, I mean, look, particularly when they took the run game out of it, because I'll touch on this in a second, but when that last drive, everyone knew where he was going, and the first play, yeah, the timing was good, got the 12, 15 yards out of bounds, and then just got shut down at midfield, right? So, next one for me. Can Stafford avoid the killer picks for one more week? He threw one last week and a sitter that was dropped. Well, he threw two this week. Although only one was his fault. While those turnovers may have been looked to be the difference at some point, right? Funnily enough, Cooper Kupp remembered he was playing on Eli Apple. Eli Apple realized that he covers less than Jimmy's favorite pair of budgie smugglers. And fucking Aaron Donald decided to dominate in the second half, right? So it was literally like Stafford didn't get a chance to break that. That said, I was pretty pumped at the beginning. One of my bets of having Stafford throw more touchdowns than interceptions, and then he threw those two picks, and I was like, oh, shit, that's not looking great. But yeah, look, that didn't kill him in the end.
Yeah, the INT, the first one, right, which was the he just threw it short in the end zone. Whereas the second was basically tipped up by Skowronek, whatever his name was, Skowronek. Yep. Squirrel neck. There we go. Squirrel neck. I'll just fucking call him. That'll be easier. Skowronek, I think it was, wasn't it? Anyway, yeah, that was a good point. And like, he didn't really cost them the game or anything. Next one, did the Rams just have too many weapons on O&D? And kind of, yeah. Like the fact that they had just Cooper Kupp, like double teamed all the way, didn't matter. Fucking, as soon as Odell goes out, they're just like, cool, we'll just throw everything at him. They couldn't slow him down anyway. So yeah, it turns out just too much balance, I think, across the team, right? Like both sides of the ball stepped up when they needed to. And special teams had, what, one muffed PAT, which probably cost a lot of people a lot of money, but it didn't cost them the game. So it looked like it was going to be a problem, though, because, like, obviously down, what, four, they had to score a touchdown on that drive. So on that last drive, so they had to keep it alive, and that's where Cooper Kupp came up massive time and time again, and I'm going to talk about that later.
It was funny. We made jokes about Matt Gabe and the one who could maybe screw up a kick more than Shooter McPherson, and it wasn't his fault at all. He didn't even get a chance to have a swing at it. Next one, my favorite one. If McVay wins, do we admit that a half-decent QB would have put up more than 3 points against the Pats in 18, and Brady would have won less ring? I'm just going to answer this with a yes. I'm chalking that up as a Pats loss, and we're going to move on to your next topic.
Rings are forever. Can't take one away. If Odell wins the Super Bowl, does that change the way we see him? I think that changes, yeah, like it does. Like the fact that, I think more so than anything else, though, that how good he was in the first half. Like he was awesome. Like, he was lighting it the fuck up.
Kupp was nowhere, and right? Kupp was nowhere.
Literally, as soon as he goes out, the entire offense just falls apart. But the thing was, like, was he out there for probably four drives, I guess, and they score, I think, two touchdowns on two of those drives, and two of them were punts. But it really, they looked like they were going to dominate. And then he goes out, and the offense sort of just, once you don't have, you know, your number two, it gets fucking hard. And you can't hit Daryl Henderson a million times on, like, you know, weird seam routes and shit like that. And suddenly your offense gets a bit fucking tougher, especially if you can't run the ball. And so Odell, I think he just proved how important he was to that team, and obviously had a touchdown and was lighting it up and was awesome. So, yeah, I mean, this changes how we think about him long term. It adds like a fun little weird coda to this part of his career. Who knows what happens now? It sort of sucks, but
ACL into free agency.
Never great.
There's a couple of those, right? Gallup, Odell, who could all be solid number twos and are all going straight into free agency with off ACLs. Okay, next one. Will Joe Mixon be a key for the Bengals? They'll be seeking to shut down the passing game and a pass rush and give him fuck all time. So, but Joey B doesn't mind a dump off. Because last week or last game against the Chiefs, he'd had 70 yards to running backs. He Mixon did put up 70 yards on the ground, which we didn't think that he'd be able to run. He cut off a couple of nice little 13, 15-yard gashes. But although they tried a couple of times, they couldn't get him the ball through the air. That was surprising. I kept expecting more because while they're known for the downfield chunk plays, it was a 40-yard, little dump-off screen against the Chiefs to P. Ryan that really started that fucking comeback when they were 21-3 down. I thought buying themselves some time and getting some quick dump-off passes would have been a good way to stop guys like Aaron Donald and Von Miller, and it just didn't fucking happen. It just didn't come. They just were more likely to go down south and hope that they can beat Aaron Donald to the punch, but it just didn't fucking work in the second half.
The lack of a run game for both teams was just the weirdest sort of aspect, I think, of kind of expected it on the Bengals side, right, because of the Rams and that D-line and that the rush defense has been really, really good. But even the Rams struggled to run it. And it was just like this weird sort of...
Sony Michel was terrible.
It was just this weird fucking slap fight basically breaking out between the two rushing things. And Sony Michel only rushed twice and he got 2 yards. It was horrible. Like Cam Akers couldn't do anything. It was horrible. It was just fucking weird. But anyway, and then Mixon not being able to do anything though was probably a bigger surprise. But both of them struggling at once was fucking strange. Last one for me was Matt Stafford. Can he win a Super Bowl? And if he does, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. Jesus. I appreciate Richard Sherman answering this one for me and saying a resounding no and breaking down all the different aspects of why Matt Stafford shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Did you know that Richard Sherman went to Stanford, Gaz? He's pretty smart. But the point is, it doesn't matter. He's going to be in there anyway. He's got more time to do good shit and...
Yeah.
He's got the stats. He's got a ring now. Who knows if he doesn't win another one, another two? Who fucking knows? He's in there.
Yeah. He's 11th or 12th in most major categories now. He's put two of the biggest single wide receiver seasons ever have been with him at quarterback.
Yeah.
He's now got the ring to go with it. He's got plenty of time to continually add on that career. And look, a couple of people came out, against Darius Slay. Big play Slay came out and was just like, because that's right. He was kept saying about, Sherman was saying, oh, he's only even got one Pro Bowl. And he's like comparing all these quarterback seasons where almost identical stats. One goes to the Pro Bowl, one's an All Pro, and the other one's not.
Yeah.
Right. And so the next player comes and says, well, do you think Rusty's going to the Hall of Fame? Because I dare you to make a comment about your own, the quarterback who took you to the Super Bowl, right? So, yeah, I just some dudes should just shut the fuck up, to be honest. I don't want to say shut up and play.
It's a good argument to make and go, look, these are the things, the most past happy times in all of, football history, etc. But at the same time, there's just going
to
be a mountain of stats.
You don't have to tear another dude down.
And a Super Bowl win. He's going to get there. Other dudes have made it for fucking way less, so... It's kind of a moot point, basically. And I always thought, the weirdest thing is I just assumed he'd make it anyway, even if he never won a Super Bowl. And, that's the argument you'd end up having in, 10 years' time, going, does he deserve to be in there, Gaz? And we'd be like, I watched him, blah, 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 blah. And it's too late. It's pack her up, boys. Yeah. He's basically in there already. So, anyway.
Agreed. All right, last one for me, which is kind of we're talking about moot points. If McPherson kicks a game winner, do you just quit on the spot? You can only go downhill from there, right? Well, the funny thing is, it was all set for him to take him to overtime, wasn't it? A minute 45 or whatever that Stafford left on the clock for Joey Burrow to get down. It was set up for that hero moment where Joey gets to go, he's unwavering, that cockiness comes in, going to march down the field. McPherson's going to take him to overtime and just... Mr. Donald had other things to say.
Yeah, it was the fact that it never got to his actual sort of spot. I was like, aw, sort of stinks. Would have been good, but oh well, what can you do? tough scenes. But I mean, what are you going to do? I love Shooter McPherson and tough all round for the Bengals. So there you go. That's all the questions we had. Let's do the takeaways. Do you want to go right into it? Do you want to do it as a... after we chat about the Daily Liquor, I think we should. So let's do it right after this. All right, Gaz. That's right. The Super Bowl takeaway thing is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. That's right. They got the Performance Package 4.0. It's all the good stuff. I'll tell you that much. I can't wait to get right around the Performance Package 4.0 because it's got everything. It really does. It has. It's got the lawnmower, which is one thing that we're all about. And look, there's also, I'll tell you what, they've also got like the Ultra Premium Collection coming soon. I'm just like, that's a bit of a bit of a tip. But anyway, back to the entire vibe. The Ultimate Package has got the 4.0, and it comes with three other amazing, amazing aspects of the Manscaped experience, Gaz. So you can join the leaders in male grooming with Manscaped, and 4 million men worldwide have also trusted Manscaped with their junk. And so go get the Performance Package 4.0. If you go to manscaped.com, you'll get 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAYER. Simple as that. Essentially, if you've gone and disappointed your wife over this past Valentine's Day, like, I don't know, me, Gaz, here we are. The last thing you want to do is be wandering around with just like an absolute crap show. Just an absolute crap show. Like if you haven't already carved her initials into your pubes, what are you doing? So sort that out right now with the Performance Package 4.0. You'll find the lawnmower. You got the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. You got the Crop Preserver ball deodorant and the Crop Reviver toner. Tell you what, Gaz, those things are worth their weight in gold. Love the toner. Love the ball deodorant. You also get boxer briefs and you get the travel bag. Travel bag's quality too, I'll tell you that much. So you've got the lawnmower. That's got the trimmer. That's got the advanced skin safe technology. Look, I'd say the greatest ball trimmer ever known to man. Like, there's literally not been a better one, guys. Just think about that for 1 second. In all of human history, has there been a better ball trimmer? No. No, there has not. It's right here. Dunskies. So the Weed Whacker's for your ears and your nose. It's awesome. So go check it out. And Manscaped will throw in the boxes and the shed travel bag there for two free gifts in your performance package. So get around it right now. So smash 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAYER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAYER at manscaped.com. Your balls have been through enough these last couple of years. Treat them pretty bloody nice for 2022, would you? With Manscaped. All right, guys. So let's do our top three Super Bowl takeaway thingies. I'll kick it off. Number one, Odell going out, as I said, completely spins the Rams for a loop. It was the weirdest sort of thing. I was really enjoying the way they were playing up to that point as well. They, as I said, they look like they're going to just shit pump the Bengals at some point, right? Like, it was like, holy crap, yeah. These guys are playing their fucking, like, balls off. Maybe they should get into Manscaped. And they kept running the ball, and you sort of see them going, what the fuck is McVay doing? What is happening? This is weird. Like, oh, it's a first down. We better try another run play. It's like, aren't you some sort of fucking offensive genius? You're offensively not a geniusly to me, because, like, I'm finding the fact that people call you a genius fucking offensive. Fuck. Anyway, the takeaway is very obvious that we have a championship-winning drive. Like, a come-from-behind championship-winning drive from the Rams offense, and it's all Cooper Kupp. I'm going to, like, 40 yards basically just to him. He has the 7-yard run, which saves it all basically. The fourth down, 5 minutes left. It saves the drive that ends in the touchdown that wins the Super Bowl. It's the longest go-ahead drive in Super Bowl history, guys. 15 plays. It was absolutely bonkers. But I think that and then the Bengals set of downs. Both sides of the ball, that's what I walk away with. Aaron Donald fucking dominating that last run against the Bengals and ending the Super Bowl basically with the sack-ish of Joey B. Like, basically, what it breaks down to, and this is the takeaway, comes down to Cooper Kupp on one side, Aaron Donald on the other. This is why you go and get big names. It's why you go big game hunting. It's why you get Stafford, everybody else. Put together a super team because superstars sometimes fucking step up and change everything for you. So that was the biggest thing I sort of got away from it. And that's why the Rams were always my pick sort of heading into it. I thought they were better balanced. And it sort of could not have been more perfectly illustrated in that fourth quarter than that, right?
Yep. Yeah, fair enough. My top one, right? Apparently, Jimmy, offensive lines are kind of important. If we take it back 12 months ago, there was another quarterback ran. What was that stat that I pulled out the other day? 497 yards. Patrick Mahomes scrambled behind the line of scrimmage because that Bucks defensive line kept getting to him. And all this week we were like, yeah, the weak point that's going to cost these guys is not giving Joey enough time. And exactly what we thought was going to happen did. So they fought valiantly in the beginning, at least, kind of. But you can only put three guys on Aaron Donald for some part of the day, right? There's some adjustments made. As I mentioned before, your 3.5 sack over. You were quietly shitting yourself at one point. Actually, for most of the first half. And then, as you said, that second half, it just kind of took over, right? Yeah. And, yeah, I think that's the thing. The investment in the offensive line, building from the trenches. Look at the trenches for the Rams on the defensive side. Aaron Donald and going and getting Von Miller and that sort of stuff. Yeah, pretty bloody important. I think I know which direction the Bengals are going to go in this offseason.
Yeah, it's also one of those things, though. The Chiefs kind of rebuilt their line pretty quickly as well this year, right? Yeah. So it can be done. And the thing is, I don't know, do you trust the Bengals in that ownership? To actually go out and do it. I don't know, but like I do enjoy like the sort of bits and bobs that they pulled together on the D for the Bengals, etc., and they did it pretty smartly, so maybe they can turn it around. Number two for me was the T. Higgins no offensive pass interference was funny as shit. Like, that was one of the biggest takeaways. Like, it's always going to be – there's two plays that I'm going to remember from this Super Bowl. One was Aaron Donald being triple-teamed as he's going at Stafford. They've given the ball to P. Ryan, I think, and Aaron Donald just sticks a fucking mid out and stops him dead. And she's like, how can one man be dealing with, like – two other dudes running into him, a third coming over the top. He sticks his mid out and just fucking stops another grown-ass man. Like, all of his momentum stops. He's just that strong. He just stops the fucking guy. But T. Higgins literally turning a motherfucker's head around with a face mask and not getting a call and getting a touchdown out of it was just mwah, kissing fingers emoji because... it was amazing. It was Jalen Ramsey, right, that he did it to, yeah?
Yeah.
Which is just hilarious. I mean, you're going to shit on some Eli Apple later, I dare say, but, like, it was funny to have, like, cornerbacks and, like, safety sort of just getting a bit roasted here and there. But it was kind of, like, indicative of how this game was officiated, right? Until the last, 5 minutes where, or the last fucking, essentially the last two possessions. Because I think it was, four flags thrown all game until the last couple of scoring drives. Well, the last scoring drive and then last drive. So
I think we said at the beginning in the first quarter, the first quarter or whenever it was, that who would have had money on the very first flag being a delay of game from the home team?
Yeah. It was fucked. Like, it was weird.
It was fucking weird.
But I loved it because let
a player play, right?
And that is like pretty egregious though when you have that one where it's like, how did the cornerback miss that? It's like, well, I turned his head around so he couldn't see where the ball was using his face mask. It's like, that is fucking genius. I loved it. And there's like people, you know, complaining about Aaron Donald offsides and all these other sort of things. Every game that has fewer flags in it, I'm here for it all the fucking time, every fucking time. So anyway, I enjoyed that. So the T. Higgins, no pass interference was amazing. No offensive pass interference. Loved it. And Aaron Donald with the just one arm stopped of Samaje Perine. Just unreal. And yeah, the officiating. I love that shit. That's great. Love it.
Yeah. All right. My next second takeaway. Zach Taylor's offense seemed to be found out as a little boring, Jimmy, when a defense makes adjustments. Look at, all right, let's put three dudes on their best defender. And let's just give ourselves enough time to put it up for Chase and Higgins. Only worked for so long. But if you look, because if you think about it, right, outside the first 12 seconds, that play that you were talking about was in the first 12 seconds of the third quarter. So 99% of the second half, they were kept to 3 points.
Yep.
Right? Like, the Rams literally adjusted and shut them down. And you obviously can't do that in a Super Bowl when you're playing a quality offense. It's just kind of one team seemed to get stronger and the other one kind of just got whittled down as the game went on. So, look, Zach Taylor, I just didn't see anything creative. I mentioned about expecting things like a few, I don't know, whether it be a jet sweep or some sort of a screen or something to at least slow and hesitate, cause the defensive line of the Rams to just hesitate a little bit. It just didn't seem to fucking come.
You mean to tell me that a bloke who looks like a tub of plain yogurt, a tub of plain yogurt brought to life as a real human boy, had a pretty flavorless fucking offense? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I know, guys? Right? It just didn't wasn't the vibe. It was just like, all right, I've got stars out there, and I'm just gonna let them do their thing. And it wasn't creative, right? Like, even the most creative things that were found on the other side of the ball. Yes, they missed that fucking the Philly special to Stafford. The dude's like 6'12". Which is also known as 7 foot. How the fuck do you miss a guy like that who's wide open?
Well, how do you overthrow him and like almost get him into the crowd?
That was fucking head.
Unbelievable.
Anyway.
But we did also have another trick play. That was Mixon throwing, right?
Pretty
gnarly. But I think that sort of leads into my last point. As you said, with all that sort of vanilla offense, like since he had their chance, they could have won it. They were up in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Like, they could have won it. And they had them fucking dead to rights like a bunch of times. And it did feel like, with my previous point, with the officiating, it did sort of feel like all of the calls went against the Bengals at the end. And it was very much Goodell going and not letting fucking Cincinnati win the fucking Super Bowl kind of vibe. So they could have won it. And I thought they would. As we were watching that fourth quarter, I'm like, they're going to fucking do this. Because that's how dead that Rams offense looked. Just talk about vanilla offense. Like, holy shit, there's only so many times, you can run Cam Akers for 3 yards and expect to just get anything out of it. Like, everything they tried, that was Cincinnati, like, parried pretty well, I thought, on D. But it just
something
sort of came down.
Something we haven't mentioned is the Cincinnati linebackers played out of their fucking skin.
Yeah. All game. All game.
Like, it was fucking crazy. They were spending more time in the backfield, it seemed.
But like, it sort of came down to like this simple individual brilliance, like of Stafford, Cup, Donald, etc. down the stretch. Like, but this is kind of it. Like, I think they had it won, and then Aaron Donald shoved Joey B out of bounds, right? With that perfectly legal. It was great. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the Bengals were like, fuck you, man. He's like, I'm motherfucking Aaron Donald. I could literally beat up every single one of you motherfuckers, like, all at once.
Yep.
Then he goes beast mode the rest of the game. And he was spectacular. And I think we're going to hit this in a second, I dare say. But, like, despite how incredible Cooper Kupp was, and he was absolutely fucking incredible, like that fourth down run, the catches, the touchdowns.
Even the one that didn't count, right?
Exactly.
That was callback.
Yeah. I feel like Aaron Donald basically stopped like 3 drives by himself. Yeah. Like, it was insane how well he played. And on that last drive, it's like, he just stopped it dead time and fucking time again.
Right.
And he was just like the engine that drove that defense that held them, as you said, to 3 points over the last 29 minutes of this fucking game. Yeah. Like, it's insane. So.
And there's also the clip of McVay turning to Donald before that last,
This is it. This is it. This is it.
This is it. This is your moment. This is yours.
And so I think basically coming out of this, like, you've got to be bitterly disappointed if you're a Cincy fan, if you are Joey B. Joey B hurts his knee, played his fucking heart out, I thought.
Yeah.
But Aaron Donald just, I still think he should have won MVP. And that's kind of like what I'm always going to think about this Super Bowl. Like, Aaron Donald should have won MVP. I think he just stopped Cincinnati just time and time again when it mattered. And it all really, just like, he went to a higher plane after that shove out of bounds on Joey B and people tried to fight him. He was like, all right, now my blood's up. You guys are fucked.
Yeah. All right, on to my last one. I don't know whether this was a random observation or one of those things where kind of you expect it and it just becomes more obvious. This has nothing to do with the actual football that I watched on Monday. But did it seem like coverage was just showing more and more celebrities? Like, here's random film star because it's in fucking LA.
Yeah.
And then it's like halftime show and, oh, we should definitely show Justin Bieber dancing on the sidelines to fucking, you know, rubbing on. Here's Jay-Z and here's what Beyonce are singing along to fucking Trey. And I'm like, dude, Matt Damon, like, I don't care. Like, oh, and then they went through all of those fucking celebrities and then they're like, oh, and there's Emmett Smith. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, so there are some ex-football players there. Thanks, guys. Yeah, that's awesome. But then there was the meme afterwards. It's like, so there's a screenshot afterwards of the, it wasn't even a meme, a screenshot of the flight path of the 140 private jets that left LA for the rest of the country after within the 4-hour period after the fucking Super Bowl. I'm like, dude. It's a football. I don't know whether it was just because it was LA, but it was fucking Snoop and Dre and Eminem. It just fucking wound me up how many celebrities I had to watch.
It was
Super Bowl Monday.
I'd also completely forgotten about our moment at the Super Bowl party on Monday where we were doing our Alan Chris impersonations. Like, Al, I don't know who these people are. I don't know about any Bennifer Albert. Emmett Smith is my kind of celebrity, Al. It was fucking great. And every time they were doing it, it was like, I don't know, Al. Chris Collinsworth, the gift that keeps on giving. That sort of leads into the bonus takeaway halftime show. That was one for the ages, I thought. LA, it was always going to be one. The fact that it's hip-hop, the fact that it was Dr. Dre, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent as a surprise guest, coming in upside down into club, same as his very famous film clip. I love that. But Kendrick was the scene stealer for me, and I think that's what pushed it over the top. I think I basically started punching you in the arm when he was out there. I was just that excited. I'm like, yes! Because it was just, like, I was just fucking, like, beside myself. Because it also, I think the Kendrick thing ties it all together, because in terms of just, like, SoCal hip-hop, you just do have, like, you know, you got Dre, you got Snoop. Obviously, Ice Cube's not there due to probably past conflicts with Dre. But it's such a, like, you know, rich and varied tapestry of musical history. And to have Kendrick as, like, the new, well, it's not even really new now. He's, like, been around over a decade plus. But sort of having that next generation feel to it all was fucking awesome. And, like, he's just so ensconced in LA. And LA informs so much of, like, his music that it was the perfect sort of rejoinder. And I thought it was fucking amazing. And I really think that pushed it over the top for me. Like, I didn't mind the houses and the dancing. I thought it was, like, a pretty innovative way to go about it. I think it would have sucked if you were sitting on one side of the houses, maybe.
Yeah, we had that conversation. Like, what the fuck do you do if you're paid all this money to sit on the wrong side?
But the obvious, like, printout on the ground of, like, actual LA and they're all dancing on it, it was just fucking cool, man. So really, really, really loved it. And the flip side was like people going, oh, geez, you just saw a bunch of millennials realize that they're old. And it's like, all right, no, we didn't. Like, it's just fucking, I don't think anyone's old anymore. I think, you know, if you like music from the 90s, the thousands, whatever, if a fucking 15-year-old thinks you're old, well, guess what? You probably are, but like you probably don't give a shit. Whereas like you think about like The Who. Like, The Who were a big band, like, fucking years upon years upon, literally decades upon decades before their Super Bowl performance, and have not had, like, a relevant fucking song for a long-ass time, right? Whereas these artists have, like, informed, essentially, and, like, some of the songs that they actually performed at the halftime show, it was literally, you know, it's informed so much of the last 30 years of musical history, so I loved it, and for it to have, like, a tribute that big felt fucking amazing and fitting, and it was great. So that's it. I'm going to remember that just fucking forever because it was sick.
Yeah, it was fucking rad. We're all super excited when it was announced, and I think the one thing that disappointed me, and it was none of their fault, I just would have loved it to be in a dome with the roof closed and the lights off.
Yeah,
like, that show in the dark would have, with you know, proper lighting show. Being during the day, it just kind of missed a bit of the vibe. But the big thing for me, what I really enjoyed was Shooter McPherson not actually going into the rooms and actually staying out on the field and watching it and looking fucking stoked.
Yep.
Like, the young guy was like, he wouldn't have been born when half these songs came out. Fucking genius. Yeah.
Anyway. But it was great. And
soak in the moment, son. Smoke it in.
Loved it. All right, let's, with all those sort of questions and answers, let's just roll over some usual NFL Australia segments, also some NBA Australia segments. Good bloke of the week, the bloke you want to buy a beer. I've got a few here. Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald's the obvious one. Didn't win Super Bowl MVP. I want to buy him a beer just because of that, because he should have. We're not going to really hit up on Jimmy's top 10 best bets for Super Bowl living or whatever. But I think the fact that he and the Rams got over 3.5 sacks, I basically end up evening out perfectly. Had he have won MVP, we would have fucking cleaned up. There's a big difference, you know what I'm saying? The squid needs a new pair of shoes. But anyway, Aaron Donald was incredible, and I think that easily cements him as like a top 3 defender all time, like easily one of the best.
Yep.
Easily on the Mount Rushmore. And to win the Super Bowl, to have like a real fucking legitimate legacy is awesome as a footballer, and I think he's now 100% guaranteed cemented on that Mount Rushmore. So kind of loved it. Yep. Matt Stafford, I mean, that's a pretty good feeling. Is just buy that bloke a fucking beer, right? From Detroit to the Soupy and winning it. Buy his wife one, Kelly Stafford. There's a good bloke of the week, even though she's a lady. Like, holy shit. Like, talk about upgrades. Like,
stood by some shit there.
And Dr. Dre, good bloke of the week. Not exactly, maybe, you know, thinking about some of his past allegations against him, etc. there you go. But I thought the way that was all pulled together, I really enjoyed it because I don't think Dre overshadowed it as much as people may have thought or feared. And I think it was really well spread out. And I think it sort of gave a lot of space for everyone to go, Dre is just, he's a fucking amazing producer. He helped push a lot of this along. He's got a couple of tunes himself, etc. And I really enjoyed that. And Eminem taking a knee. It's probably the only time in my life I'm like, you know what? We should probably give Eminem some credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick. He was good. I enjoyed that. He just looks weird, though. It's just hard to get past how fucking strange that dude looks now. Cooper Kupp, good bloke of the week. Good bloke of the year. Checks out almost.
Poor mate. Fucking, you were like ranting about him for most of the season.
Yeah. He's like, and now, he's my Eminem. I got to give him some credit here, don't I? Like, when receiving Triple Crown, Offensive Player of the Year, Super Bowl MVP. One bloke's done that in a career. He did it in a year. The other bloke who did it in his career was Jerry fucking Rice. So,
not bad.
That's basically the best season a wide receiver's ever put together. Like, holy shit, that's amazing. So, and obviously McVay. Sean McVay, youngest Super Bowl winning head coach ever. It's pretty cool. He learned everything he learned from getting beaten by Bill Belichick. So, good on him.
And already contemplating retirement.
I love that. So what a great story that was.
For me, obviously you've taken over a lot of the obvious ones. Andrew Whitworth, named his Walter Payton Man of the Year, drafted by the Bengals in 06, becomes the oldest active player after Brady retires, wins his Super Bowl against his old team, and then retires. Like, that's a pretty good fucking achievement to end your season. Von Miller for coming out and saying that he played the game for Demaryius Thomas, his old teammate, who obviously tragically died earlier this year. And fucking, as the Eric Weddle story, right? Comes out of retirement after 2 years on the sidelines to play safety, right? Leads a team in tackles in the playoffs, ruptured his pec in the first half, and then got a ring and promptly retired again.
It's not bad.
All of these guys, like, kind of the end of their career, kind of just knocking over that one last box to just go, you know what? Yep, that's it. That's time. I'm doing it. I'm leaving it that way.
Nice.
Old mate, no
mate.
Old mate, no
mate.
Old mate, no
mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no
mate.
All right, well, how about some old mate, no mate. Old mate, no mates, Gaz. The Bengals guy, he got pinged for the unsportsmanlike penalty for running on the field after the interception. You're not even on the active roster, my man. Like, what are you doing? Come on. It's like, I better run on it. On the, and it's like, join the celebration. You're on the field. What are you doing? What the fuck? Yep. That was not great. And it's also one of those things where you go, you don't sort of think about it too much, but an interception, so it takes points off the board, but with that penalty right at the, like after it, it just fucks your field position, like straight out of nowhere.
Yeah, fucking. It really stifled any progress because they were playing all right at the time, and obviously they've just picked him off again. And they did a lot of work in those next three or four plays to get 15 yards, and all it did was take them back to where they would have started the drive without that penalty, right? Like, so they'd done a lot of work to get back to, like, the 25.
Yeah.
It was just shit.
Yeah, so...
I agree with that one.
That was a really, really weird one. Obviously, the other old mate, no mates, The Rock and his maroon on wine ensemble, where he then yelled at us for 20 minutes, as I mentioned, that it was time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's like, it'd be fucking time, Rock, if you got the fucking words out and got the fuck out of our face. It was so weird. I just found it felt like there was no plan behind it. It's like he hadn't rehearsed it. It's like, it literally felt like The Rock was like just in a box somewhere earlier. And like someone came up to him, hey, Rock, do you want to like intro? Like that'd be fucking funny, wouldn't it? He's like, yeah, I'll do an eyebrow. And it's like, and off he went. It's like, and he just said, it's time 87 fucking times. And didn't look like it felt very like someone had found him a shirt or a pair of pants that didn't have anything on them. It's like, well, I was wearing like a shirt that actually had like a logo or something on it, but it's the Super Bowl. I can't wear a shirt with a logo on it if they've not paid for it. And so they got him like the most fucking nondescript thing they had out the back. And it just happened to be like a maroon t-shirt and like wine pants. It was like, what the fuck is this? This was so weird.
To be honest, that's exactly what happened, Jimmy. I reckon 15 times sitting at Catfish while we're waiting for the game to start, you've gone, what is he wearing? What is he wearing? What is he wearing? What the fuck is he wearing? Anyway, but the other thing that weirds me out is when he sat there and did this whole introduction, and then he talks about the Rams and he introduces your Los Angeles Rams, and then 15 seconds later introduces your Cincinnati Bengals. And I'm like, just the flagrant use of the... Anyway. Yep,
it was all strange. Enough. It was all strange. 50 Cent, yeah, obviously the other old mate, no mates. Like, obviously, in his film clip for In the Club, he's like upside down. And it's like, ha ha, we're going to play a trick on Fitty. We'll do it in the show. And then he's like laying there upside down for like 20 minutes beforehand going, I've made a horrible mistake. These guys actually hate me. Fuck. It felt very much like they'd played a practical joke on the guy. It's like, no, it'd be really good. And then they kept bumping his song until later and later and later. And then he sort of came down and was like, fuck, God, I wasn't built for this. Anyway, so I enjoyed, but 50 I thought was actually pretty good. Like, it was pretty fun. Anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Caught me by surprise, as I think most people, to be fair. This had to come out at some point, didn't it? Fucking Eli Apple. I've fucking ragged on this guy the whole playoff series. He was terrible at the Giants when he was more known for his comments from his mum than from his actual play on the field when he was drafted. He was a dead shit in the Giants. He was fucking terrible in the Saints. And then goes to a Super Bowl team and then proceeds to get his ass burned after literally sitting online just giving other teams' fan bases and other teams' stars like Tyreek Hill shit. When you've achieved nothing, mate, you ended up on a team that dragged you along for the ride. Cool your fucking jets. Can't imagine him hanging around for too much longer, to be fair. Like there was some really, really bad coverage of Cooper Kupp in that last quarter, particularly, and he's going to go down as one of the most horrible players on that field, I reckon.
Fucking hell, that's some pretty old mate, no mates, but it does feel like he's literally now got no mates though. So this is actually the perfect old mate, no mates ever.
Exactly. Someone made a comment, one of the responses to one of his tweets was, literally, dude, every person that you've picked on has a highlight reel. When I search for you on YouTube, the first three videos that comes up are Eli Apple getting burnt like toast, right? That's like fucking... Anyway... And the last one for me, it's just like, I kind of feel sorry for these dudes. They've come out and said the right things. They've got, you know, no hate here. You know, you go boys went and did it. But D-Jax and Goff, D-Jax for getting a chance early in the season and then wanting an opportunity somewhere else. And Goff obviously being there and his team in the first year of him going, which just shows... Maybe look at, you know, they also did get Von Miller and OBJ, but you're a bit of a common denominator, mate, from the last few years that McVay can do it the moment you're gone. But look, he's got a smoking girlfriend and earns $20 million a year, so I don't really feel too sorry for him. But right now, definitely is an old mate, no mates.
Definitely. I think we've got an extra bloke we need to buy a beer as well, wasn't it? Like Van Jefferson. His wife going into labor. Basically right after the Super Bowl and, yeah, with a new squid. Yep. So that's fucking gnarly.
Three hours after the game,
he was there, you know, with his second kid. So congrats to Van Jefferson. That's fucking gnarly.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion of the day. It's sort of like we've talked about some of the highlights and stuff, but that's kind of the thing, right? Like I think the fact that we can pretty easily go, there were like five moments of this game that I'm always going to remember. The rest of it was kind of shit. Like, that's kind of it. Like, the game, the unpopular opinion of the day for me is, like, it was a close game. It was a fun game because it was close, but it wasn't a good game, you know?
It goes right back to the pregame, as we discussed in the build-up, right? There was a whole bunch of factors. We discussed it on the day. Look, COVID and everything going around kind of... had a lot more people, even the vibe out, and it wasn't just where we were. It was, I've seen photos of a whole bunch of venues. People were more likely to watch it at home, just to stay away from the Omicrons. But also, not really having massive fan bases that were able to give shit to each other. Yep. Like Pats, Chiefs, you're kind of going to... There's some pre-game, like niggling, even between guys who don't know each other. You can feel free to give each other shit. And you've got that tenseness in the first quarter that gets you into, let's be honest, what is usually a pretty shit first quarter of a Super Bowl. Yep. Because the teams are, you know, they're nervous and they're filling each other out. But you've got you're pumped up. It just didn't feel that way. Like the whole first half, we were sitting there kind of chatting to each other, going... Yeah, that made 3 yards.
Kind of that's it, weren't... right? And then I think, as I said, like when Odell goes out, like it was probably an hour plus of like, well, it's still close, but this isn't exactly champagne.
Have we got to the halftime show yet?
This is champagne football, not champagne football. This is sparkling wine football. Either way, and my Outback Takehouse after all this, guys, because it's... Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means. End of season 4-for-1 oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's Lager. That's right. It's Australian for beer. Slip of the tongue. That's right. We definitely just don't put horse piss in these big cans and then sell them to you Yanks and call it Australian for beer. We definitely do not do that. But it does go great with a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, having learnt everything, having been beaten by Bill Belichick a couple of years ago, and having sewn away the title of youngest head coach to ever win a Super Bowl, Sean McVay should 100% retire right fucking now, only at Outback. You should go do the Gruden. Just go get a shit ton of money. Just do a bit of commentary. You know he'd be great at that. You know what he's also great at, guys? Being a fucking football coach. he'd also sort of be the guy go, wow, I really want to spend more time with my family, spend 20 minutes with his family, go, this fucking sucks. Oh, I'm going to go be a fucking football coach again. 100%. But yeah, I enjoyed that.
I love the story.
The storyline popped off this week, right? When it's like, oh, well, I'm going to get married this offseason. So I don't know. Like, is this going to be my entire future? It's like, guess what, Sean McVay? If you want to be the greatest, probably. I mean, you can do the Gruden. That's fine. And if you can sort of swing in and out, make as much money as you possibly can, that's probably an easier way of going about it. But it's just, it's always weird fucky stuff. And like, this is a very American vibe, right? To go, wow, he might want to go do TV. It's like, doing TV isn't as great as a job as like being the fucking head coach who wins the Super Bowl. Like, what are you, how high are you all the time? It's like every time, you know, Jim Harbaugh is always sort of brought up. It's like, well, you know, he could go coach. And like when he's the coach of a pro team, it's like, oh, he might be up for this college job. It's like, he's a pro coach. Unless he's about to get fired, there's no way he's leaving that job. It's like Mike Tomlin. It's like, well, you know, he might. No, he's the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Shut the fuck up. Just let him do their jobs for a little bit, you know? That said, he should 100% retire and take over like Monday Night Football or something.
Yeah, there's a fucking great story. What? He's been the coach for 5 years. He's had 5 winning seasons, been to 2 Super Bowls and won one. That's a pretty epic legacy. That's a pretty fucking sick mic drop if you were just like, all right, bitches, I'm out.
Well, if only he could, like, you know, do the same thing as John Madden and, like, come up with his own, like, you know, football game or whatever. Well, you know, lend his name to a football game. That'd be awesome. Because, I mean, Madden was only a coach for, like, less than 10 years, I think, for the Raiders, right? And, like, one Super Bowl and stuff like that. But was obviously a fucking great coach, but then just went and didn't
change the game.
Do it and, like, became an amazing fucking face of the game and everything. So, either way, do you feel like the best team won, Gaz?
Of the game or of the year?
So you walk out of this year going, the 2022, that's right, it's still 2022. The winner of the 21-22 season was the LA Rams. And I think this is the big question I kept asking during the week, and I asked it pre-show. You know how my brain goes for big narratives and simple shit like that because I'm a fucking moron. This has been the sort of thing all year. I'm like, the Rams are one of the best teams in the NFL. There are moments where they look like the best team in the NFL. Since they only had a couple of moments like that in the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I think the Rams are just a better team in my big dumb brain. And it kind of worked out. I still feel like that the Chiefs or the Bills probably would have beaten the Rams on the day. I think they had sort of more varied, better offenses and sort of maybe not better defenses, but at least defenses that could throw a little bit more weird shit out there. So, I don't know. I feel like they kind of played their Super Bowl in the game that they played each other, and Cincinnati picked off the Chiefs, and there we go. And the Rams walk away with it.
It just doesn't feel convincing with the Rams. Sorry to any Rams fans out there. It just doesn't feel convincing. Like last year with Tampa Bay, you just went, oh, fuck, that defense just smothered them, shut them down. Yep. They had the weapons, they had stuff around, and they beat that top quality team, you know, shooting their arts out, and you just go, yeah, fuck yeah, right? It just doesn't seem convincing. But here we are. They've done all they could, all and only beat who was in front of them, and they've won. So there you go. Rams, your 2021-22 Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, I mean, for you, what do you reckon about next year then? How do you feel about, like, who do you have in the Super Bowl? What do you reckon? Because I can tell you a couple of odds. It looks like, weirdly enough, maybe not so much in the NFC. I think they're going to wait and see how the quarterback market shakes out. So,
without knowing what you were saying, what you were going to say then, my literal comment was, it feels like this was easier last year, right? To actually, even though we were wrong about both teams who we said were going to be in the Super Bowl, it definitely felt more definitive. I still feel like I picked Bills at the beginning of this year, and I just think they were that one step away, and, you know, I just believe that they're going to get there at some point. So I'm going to go with the Bills for the AFC again. But Fuck, mate. The NFC, tell me one team in the NFC that doesn't have question
chaos.
Marks.
Absolute right? Chaos. Like,
the Rams is probably the most complete now, but Tampa Bay is going to lose. Well, obviously, they've lost their quarterback, but they're going to lose a lot in free agency. The Cowboys are losing a lot in free agency. There's question marks for the Saints, the Falcons, Giants, Washington, Kyler. There's questions in Arizona now.
Seattle, who knows what could happen, right?
Seattle's going on. So,
Jesus.
With all that said, I'm like, fuck it, I've got to pick someone. Eagles are going to spend big in free agency. They're going to go after Rusty, and the Eagles are going to make the Super Bowl. Fuck it, there is as much chance as any other of those 16 teams. So, 15, take out the Eagles. So, fuck it. I'm just going to put down the Eagles. And I'm going to, when the odds are released, Jimmy, I'm going to put $10 on my Eagles to make the Super Bowl next year.
Nice one. Well, the betting's suspended at the moment, so until it all washes out. The AFC, I've gone the Bills as well. They're equal favourites with the Chiefs to come out of the AFC. $4.50. Yep. So my pick was Bills Niners for next year, just off the top of my head.
You're talking question marks, right?
Is
Jimmy G going to be around?
That's my brain, though. That's just me going, well, the Niners will replace Jimmy G with either Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. So off we go. Let's fucking dance. So let's wrap up our season-long betting competition as well. And if anyone needs to know the results of Fast Jimmy's Locks of the Week for the top 10 fun, dumb Super Bowl bets, I think 3 or 4 of them actually hit. So it was pretty all right. That's probably your money back. I think Tails Never Fails didn't hit, but the kickoff return for a touchback probably got the biggest cheer of the day. Absolutely love that because I did have a larger sum than on some of the other ones on that one. We sort of walked away with, even out money. And first sack, obviously that sort of sucked that the Rams had the ball first and off we go, so... Anyway, the total sacks for Rams D, that hit. But Gaz and I going head-to-head all season in the picks. Gaz actually had Cincy +4 in this one. He was way off with his final actual score pick of Cincy winning it 30-27. Actual fact, I was closer than he was in the end.
That's not how that works,
Jimmy.
That's not how it works.
So Gaz finishes the season one pick ahead of me, so I owe him a beer.
What up?
The thing is, I did not buy him a beer at the end of Monday because he was, I believe the phrase liability is right there, and I didn't want to be held responsible.
I went to another bar with Nasty. It was great.
Good stuff. So one last big question. I mean, we asked this at the end of last week's show. Would that be the greatest halftime show of all time? Like, it's probably gone in the top four pretty easily for me. So I enjoyed that too. So I'll take suggestions of what beer I owe Gaz because I'll, even though I don't think I ever really cashed in the amount that I won off you last year, which was a sixer.
Nah, I definitely didn't. I'm pretty, I think I owe you.
So you technically still owe me 5 rather than me owing you 1, but I'll buy you 1 fancy beer and I think that'll be fun. What do you reckon? Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good, mate.
Nice
sounds
one. Good. But I guess what that means is that's it for the 21-22 NFL season. That's the Super Bowl wrap episode of NFL Australia. It's the end of our second – well, it's not the end of our second season. The second season will finish officially when we start next season with the preview shows.
Yeah, true.
But that's kind of it, right, from us on a weekly basis. But we will be checking in and popping up here and there throughout the offseason. We'll be doing some free agency stuff, some draft stuff. Obviously, it's going to be chaos this offseason as well. And I know that Gaz is going to be throwing himself right into the draft. So keep your eye out for some Eagles Australia gear, some Pat Australia stuff as well that'll probably pop up. And I guess that's kind of it. So we're going to try to just sort of do a couple of special edition NFL Australias this offseason, I think, when... Because news is
basically Jimmy and I looking for an excuse to have a beer together.
Essentially. We'll try to get actually in-person stuff happening too in the off-season because why the fuck not? Yeah. So that's it. I mean, we'll be checking in, popping up. That's what we're going to be doing. Keep your ear, close to the ground. Keep your eye on the subscription. Check us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG, across Pat Australia, Eagle Australia, NFL Australia. Go check out NBA Australia as well and World Wrestling Australia. Yep. But thank us a rating, review on your podcast apps, all that good sort of stuff. And big thanks have always got to go to the awesome band House Hats, who do the intro and outro song here. Go listen to their album. over in the Apple Musics, whatever. Smash the dailyliquor.com. Use the code STRAY. Get a free sixer on your mates Gaz and Jimmy there if you're in Melbourne. And, of course, Manscaped. Look after your nuts the way they look after you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAY at manscaped.com. Gaz, have you got any season-ending plugs here? What do you got?
Jimmy, we've got fucking, with the end of NFL Australia for a six-month period, I've got gigs coming up again. I can go to the fucking pub. Next week, we're actually playing we're headlining a show. The Ramshackle Army's playing at the Bendigo if you're down in Collingwood. We're actually saving some money for the, donating some money for the, keep some of these pubs alive, right? As we know what's happening with the, our friends at the John Curtin this week. Yeah, which is sad and heartbreaking for you as well. Yeah, well, probably you more than me.
I was going to say,
as well,
I play for their pub cricket team. There. I lived there for four years.
Popped up the bra there.
DJ
But yeah, obviously for us, we've got St. Pat's coming up. We've got a couple of festivals. And we've got another little, like, drinking beer in the sun kind of with over smoked meats and rockabilly with some Celtic punk. So drop by the social medias for the Ramshackle Army. Come out to a gig and grab a fucking beer.
Sounds good. I know I probably will. Like,
probably will.
Why wouldn't I? And there you go. Yeah. What a season. I feel like NFL Australia as well has been awesome to do this year. It's been really fun. It's sort of, you know, a couple of weird scheduling fuck arounds this year. And again, COVID sort of fucked this a bit here and there too. But we managed it. Super Bowl was fucking chill and awesome fun. So massive thanks to everyone who was there at the Catfish. We had a great time. Yeah. Without, you know.
Thanks to the boys who joined in our first ever fantasy league.
It was awesome.
Jimmy was fucking terrible. I beat him in that as well. So fingers crossed I don't suck and be middle of the road and miss out on the playoffs like I did this year. Thanks to fucking McKeegan, who always contributes, whose official name is now fucking McKeegan.
And gave me a lift home on Monday, which is amazing. So,
there you go. What a champ.
Legendary.
Champ. All right.
So there you go. That's it. One more season of NFL Australia in the bag. As mentioned, we'll be doing off-season shows, so we're not going to be out of here completely for the next few months, but we're not going to be weekly. So, jeez.
Yeah.
My family might see me, Gaz. I don't know how they'll feel about that, but whatever.
AFL season's about to start too, isn't it?
They get stuck into it. AFL Australia, here we go. All right, I guess we'll catch you in a bit, you dickheads.
See yas.
Later, Hosen.